is a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from Sam Houston Race Park. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
I think it'll be interesting on the championship game Monday night when those start to move. I think people are going to get past the NFL first, and then they'll start hitting that.
From what I understand, it's going to be a massive pros versus Joes situation. And I think this LSU team is going to be so heavily bet by the public that it may kind of even it out. I'm interested to see what it does. I keep saying I can't imagine it'll get to 7, but I can much more easily picture it getting to 7 than I can to a 3. Can you imagine Bill Belichick ever coming into a press conference and apologizing for cussing at some stupid fan?
No.
What's O'Brien doing breaking character here?
Yeah, because that's definitely not a Bill Belichick thing.
So. No. Yeah, I mean, honestly, it's not an O'Brien thing. We've never heard him be contrite about something like that.
Well, it was pretty half-assed contrite, though.
Yeah, but still, like, why even say sorry? Yeah. You know he's not sorry.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz. Hour number 3, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. If you want to text the show, you can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Send a message if he likes it. Aaron will read it. It's his one chance to participate in the show, so do him a solid. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Aaron is blitzed, at Tyler Drew Scott, at Degenerates975. I think that's enough. You can also, you know the number to text the show if you miss the first hour. Lots of good sportsy stuff, some non-sportsy stuff. And we're out here live at Sam Houston Race Park, where the first race of the meet is 43 minutes away.
And 43 minutes to post time. 43 minutes to post.
If you want to come on out and get a chance to get in on the action, free tip sheets available up front. Just the tips. All 10
tips.
Of them. Yeah. Ooh. I mean, if you like a lot of action,
lots of
10 action. Tips for you. But it's also available on SportsMap. So if you're sitting at home playing, like I will be doing later tonight, you can go to sportsmap.com and get the same picks that I have out here.
Are there any former Pro Bowl NFL players here tonight?
There happens to be one.
Yeah, at least one.
At least one that we know of.
Okay, I don't want to drop names, but I've seen one.
Oh, you can drop names.
No. Listen, he may want some privacy.
Oh, dude, he lives out here.
Okay.
Everybody knows Henry Thomas at the racetrack. So.
Okay.
So, yeah, there is one former Pro Bowl player here that we know of.
There might be more.
Oh, there's probably more.
Could be.
Yeah.
There are probably not any Texans.
No, there better not be.
Because, I mean, the Pro Bowl.
Well, there's only, what, 3 of them.
Yeah.
And don't they have something to do on Sunday?
They're going to be busy.
Yeah. I remember.
Was there a third? Who was the third one?
Tunsil.
Tunsil, okay.
Yeah, Hopkins, Tunsil, Watson.
Boy, Tunsil, did you see his grade for that last game?
I did not.
I think he had a 55.
That's not.
I think his lowest game prior to that was a 69, so he had by far his worst game of the season against Buffalo.
Well, it's not going to happen again.
He's done with it.
He's wiping
the slate clean.
He's going to come out and have a 72 against the Chiefs.
Okay. So he's going, like, he's hoping that they're going to go 1-0 is what you're saying. That's all he's thinking about.
Yeah, yeah.
The past is in the past.
Exactly.
Okay.
And there won't be, well, I'm going to set the over-under on false starts at 1.5.
That's probably a good number.
Yeah, I don't think he'll do 2 again, but we'll see. Can I do something a little non-sportsy here, since when the boys come on, we're going to be doing a lot of gambling? I don't know that this impacts you at all, but as someone who's done this a few times, apparently January has officially...
Dude sex month?
No.
Oh.
That's during the summer, man. Come on.
Oh.
Apparently, January has been unofficially dubbed Divorce Month.
Ah, wife didn't like her Christmas present. She starts to get your W-2s in, and she's like, what?
Yeah, where'd all this come from?
Yeah, when did you make this much money? And, yeah, I can see that.
And beyond that, you know, New Year's resolution, I'm not going to stay married to this troll. That comes up a lot. So, Albert says,
how are you feeling confidence-wise right now? 1 to 10.
5. It's always a 5.
Same as your laptop.
Yeah.
So you're saying that you felt the same confidence that your laptop would be at your house when you got home the other day, then you feel your wife will be at your home.
Oh, no, she'll be there because she has to. She's going to London tomorrow for 2 weeks.
Oh. Okay.
So I'll survive January.
Okay.
Now, February, maybe not.
Yeah, if she comes back, that's when we'll know.
Right, exactly. So, Albert asked, gun to your
head. Fred, I found a new man. He takes good care of me.
Yeah.
Why does Fred's wife sound like Ringo Starr? I don't know. That's her new accent after she spends 2 weeks with her British boyfriend.
She doesn't have a...
It takes all the best care of me.
She's got two or three British boyfriends.
It's a true lover, a true romantic.
713-780-ESPN. 832 says, a doctor for your hair really worked well for you, Fred. I drove by Sam Houston not long ago and wasn't blinded by the lights reflecting off your dome. That's because you were blinded by the lights reflecting off of AJ's dome.
Come on.
So... But yeah, it's divorce month, so if, you know, good luck. You know, it's funny. I mean, most of the advice people ask me for is about betting and stuff like that, but a close second is divorce advice.
Really?
Yeah.
So, what does this apply just to married relationships, or could we see boyfriend girlfriend splits this month?
Oh, I'm sure we'll see some of those.
Okay,
because you always see that, right?
Yeah.
So,
I just wonder if it's as heavy this month as it is in other months.
Can I ask a general question?
Yes.
Why do people think we have to have a gun to our head to pick a team?
Well, because sometimes people will, like, if I say, pick me a team in the, you know, Seahawks-Packers game, you might say, I don't really have a great feel for it. Not really sure. So they throw in that gun to head thing. Just in case, like, a bandit came in and said, hey, I've got to put down my life savings on this game. What would you do? And if you had an actual gun to your head, you wouldn't say, sorry, man, I just don't have a good feel for this one. Like, you would give him an answer. And then as soon as he ran to place his bet, you'd run away. Thus, gun to head pick.
See, what I don't understand, though, is how often has that actually happened?
It's happened dozens of times.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Because I would kind of just...
It's one of the more underreported crimes.
Is it?
Yeah.
Because
there's shame in it, you know? If you've had your gun to your head and had to make a pick. Like, you go and you're like, guys, there was a gun to my head when I made this pick. And everybody's like, no, there wasn't. And then you're shamed. You know how it is, Fred. Like, when you get a horse wrong and there could have been a gun to your head. And if you use that excuse, people would doubt you. So there's a lot of people who don't want to come forward for that reason.
See, I'll come forward, because if you put a gun to my head and then leave, I'm going to go get my gun and chase you down.
Ooh.
That I have a gun to your head. Now let's see who likes it.
And, well, but then what if he gives you a pick immediately?
I'll let him go.
Okay.
But, yeah, Albert asked that. And he goes, which team would you pick to cover out of the five football games right now? He says, I'm leaning San Fran because I think the Vikings blew their energy against the Saints. I actually like the Vikings a lot there, mainly because 49ers don't run away and hide very often. And I think this Vikings team is pretty damn good.
I think I'm in the same boat.
So
Vikings
plus seven. After that, I'd say Seahawks, and then maybe Ravens.
I would go in order of confidence. If I were doing a confidence pool,
okay.
I would do Vikings plus seven.
That's your four.
Well, he said five games.
Oh, he's counting the championship, but I'm not ready to commit to that yet. Sorry.
Okay.
Well, I will be on Monday.
I'd do Clemson plus six.
See, that's why you can't put a gun to my head for a game that's not until Monday.
Well, if you don't know what it would be like. And then I'd probably go Baltimore minus 9.5, Seahawks plus 4.5, Chiefs minus 9.5.
Yeah, I have it. The only way I would do it a little bit differently is I'd Vikings one. I think Seahawks 2. No, I'll take Ravens 2, Seahawks 3, Clemson 4, Kansas City 5.
Okay, so we have all the same picks, just in different order.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's only five games. We have to have the same picks. Well, I mean, we don't have to have the
same.
No,
I'm saying we're on the same side.
Yeah, we're on the same side on all of them, which it could be good or bad. Usually that's a good thing, but we'll see where RJ and the crew are.
Where the Vegas perspective, as they call it.
Yeah. I have a drunk story for you. Another one.
Give it to me. Is this about you?
No.
Boring.
Well, never mind. It won't open. But a woman who was pulled over blew a .25. She says she wasn't impaired because she's, quote, a professional drinker.
Yeah, .25. If you drink a lot, it's not that bad.
Is that how it works?
Yeah.
It didn't work for her because, you know.
Well, they took her to jail?
Yeah.
Oh,
I mean, they tend
man.
To do that when you blow a .25.
Oh, man. .25, I don't care who you are. That's drunk.
I'm sure I've been there before. The only time I know exactly where I was when we did that show.
Yeah.
And I was at a .16, and I was...
You're pretty housed?
I was pretty housed, yeah.
I bet I've seen you at better than .16.
Oh, I'm sure you have. I'm pretty sure I've seen you at better than .16.
Yeah. I don't know what
the highest...
I think we've
seen Tyler at better than .16.
Yeah. I don't know what the highest I've been is. I wish I did, though. Cause
that would be kind of fun.
If you know, you're just going to go try and beat that record.
Exactly.
And that's dangerous, man. Like, because then you're like, I bet I can hit a three tonight.
Probably not the smartest thing to do.
Yeah.
But
and your buddy tries to up you, and he's like, I'm going .32, and then he's dead.
Yeah.
You know?
Because you don't want
no fun.
We don't want to die.
No fun.
You just want to, you know, you want to push it a little bit.
Yeah.
So
once you hit a .2, you know you need to dial it back.
Yeah. It's quitting time.
Yeah.
They did one of those maps, like who's rooting for who in the championship game.
Okay. Now let me preface this by saying the last time they did this map when there was four teams, Texas was maroon and apparently cheering for Oklahoma, which I don't buy that at all.
That is fake news?
Yeah, for sure fake news.
There is no one in Texas that would ever root for Oklahoma.
Because any Texas Longhorn fan would not cheer for Oklahoma, and any Texas A&M fan would cheer for LSU because then they get to raise an SEC championship banner.
Right.
So, you know, that's there's no way Oklahoma was cheered for by Texas.
No, and even your tangential teams like Baylor's not going to
– no.
They're not rooting for Oklahoma. But basically, Texas
Why'd you call Baylor a transgendered team?
I said that's not what I said. They're just not as popular.
Haven't they been through enough?
I mean, why is that a bad thing? Why are you hating on transgenders all of a sudden?
I'm not hating on them. I feel
yeah,
like
I think you are.
You just called them out, and they're not out.
Y'all continue to hate on the Titans. I love the show, but when do we start to give the Titans some credit?
When they're not playing the best team.
Yeah, if you go in and beat the Ravens, sure, I'll be happy to give you some credit.
Yeah.
And if again, misuse of the term hatred. I don't think they're going to cover. That does not mean I hate the Titans.
No, I just don't think they're going to win. Yeah.
So stop trying to do that. Go and find a, you know, and go get a girlfriend and get laid or something and quit worrying about somebody hating on your team because that's not what it is. Speaking of Baylor, do you see some of the names that they're throwing out there for replacements?
I've not.
Some of these are pretty interesting. Joey McGuire, who's their associate head coach, who's been there, is kind of the favorite. He was the coach at Cedar Hill for all those years.
They're looking to get in a high school coach?
Well, he's been at Baylor for 3 years as the associate head coach.
Okay,
so.
Okay.
I mean, I think he's...
Chad Morris.
Not on the list.
No? Ah, man.
Here's your other names. Josh Heupel.
Okay.
Luke Fickell.
You know, I don't hate that.
I don't either. Brian Harsin?
Boy, I think that'd be a slam dunk. I'd feel good about that.
Blake Anderson, Arkansas State.
No. Pass. I like Brian Harsin. I know I like him more than you do.
I would say Fickell would be my favorite there. But I just don't know enough about McGuire, and I'm pretty sure he's there. He was a terrific high school coach. Sometimes that works, sometimes it doesn't. Chad Morris. But it did work
it
for
didn't work.
It did work for Rapey. But so maybe. I mean, he does have 3 years experience there as the top assistant. So, you know, I just don't know enough about him and how he would be as a coach to comment. But I need to see more from Heupel because he inherited a pretty damn good program there.
Yeah.
And, you know, not that it's gone backward by any stretch, but it hasn't been as dominant.
Right.
I mean, his first year was his best with Scott Frost's team. And now you're starting to see a little erosion there. But Fickell, in especially the way Cincinnati plays, it's kind of very Baylor-like. All right, we'll be right back. It's the Blitz on ESPN 975.
Guys, let me tell you about ProDunkHoops.com. That's where you're going to go to get the best basketball goal on the planet. And I'm not even kidding. I'm talking about the highest quality product you can get. And how is it better? Thickest steel of any goal on the market, 75% thicker than the best brands in the big box stores. And it's not going to be hanging sideways halfway through the lifetime of it. The tempered glass backboard is so strong. Hoops guarantees if it breaks or cracks for any reason, they're going to replace it for free. A rust armor finish, no rust for 30 years. Perfect for the weather down here. And they've got a design to fit your home, your driveway, your backyard. They've got a fully portable version if you've got a pain in the ass HOA. They've got all the accessories, LED lighting, court marking, stencils, custom pole pad lettering, and they're adjustable from 10 feet to 5 feet with the turn of a handle, so any age can get out there and play. And that's what's fun for my little kid, my big kid. They can play it. One can play it 10 feet, one can play it at 5, 6 feet, and they can both have fun doing it. Get your new hoops goal today. See it all at ProDunkHoops.com. That's ProDunkHoops.com, 281-351-9822.
You're listening to a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from Sam Houston Race Park. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, live here at Sam Houston Race Park for opening night. So we've been talking about a lot of gambling, but now we're going to talk about even more gambling with the legends, R.J. Bell, Fezzik, Brad, what's up, fellas?
How you doing tonight, guys?
We're hanging in there. We're out at the racetrack. We're doing better than most people, I would guess.
All right. Fez, he's here. I will say this. No RJ Bell for you guys tonight.
Okay. No RJ tonight.
Sick. No, I do have his picks.
Okay. Awesome. Well, let's get through them. I guess we'll let RJ. You want to go first for RJ? Let him have the honors here.
Just run down every pick, or
no? We'll go through each game by game, but we'll make sure we differentiate your picks from RJ's. But we'll go in rotation order, and we'll start with the Vikings. The Vikings catching 7 points most places. You can get looks like some 7.5s if you're willing to pay extra juice, but it looks like a pretty consensus 7. What's RJ think of that game, Brad?
RJ is going with San Francisco here, and the number one factor for him is the Kirk Cousins factor. The fact that Kirk Cousins, in his career, at a 1 o'clock start time, covers about two-thirds of the time. When it's not 1 o'clock Eastern, Kirk Cousins covers about a third of the time. So basically, guys, Kirk Cousins goes from being at 1 o'clock Eastern the best quarterback in the history of football as far as covering the spread at 1 o'clock Eastern to the worst quarterback in the history of football as far as covering the spread when it's not 1 o'clock Eastern.
That's interesting. And because they decided to put them on, there's not a 1 o'clock game, though, this week. I mean, that's what makes it weird. So there's basically no time he could have played this weekend where RJ would have liked the Vikings. Is that what he's saying?
I don't know. Pretty much.
That's tough for me to buy into. I'll go the other side. I'll go next. I like the Vikings plus the 7. I don't know how much I believe in the voodoo magic of what time he's playing. Particularly, I mean, he's playing the early game is the way that I'm looking at it here. If he wants to get into that, I just think that the Vikings were underrated last week. I think they're underrated again this week. I think people are underestimating what the Vikings are because they're looking at the last two or three games of the season and assuming that's what they really were. And I don't know that that's what they really were. This was a team that was early in the season. Looked like they were a real Super Bowl contender. I don't know that they're not. The one concern I have, though, is the health of Adam Thielen. And when I decided that I liked the Vikings on this side, it was assumed by me that Adam Thielen was healthy and in the thick of things. And I don't know what to expect from him. It'd be nice if they were playing on Sunday, I'm sure. But I'm just going to go with if he plays, then I'm getting a little bit of a free roll here if he's at full strength. So I'll go with the Vikings plus 7.
You get agreement with me. I'll also lean with Minnesota here. Just a lean for me. It's not one of my favorite. In fact, I would say of these four games, as far as the sides go, this would be my weakest lean on Minnesota. I'm not buying into, you know, the whole Jimmy G and Kyle Shanahan. I get it. They're great. They're well publicized. They get a lot of love. But let's not forget, this is their first playoff game of their careers. And stat finding, looking here at first time quarterbacks in the NFL when it's their first playoff game since 2003. How do they do? 13-33 against the spread. 13-33 against the spread. First time quarterbacks in their first play or first playoff game for the starting quarterback. Last I checked, Jimmy G hasn't, right, zero playoff games prior?
Zero starts, yeah.
All right, I'll take Minnesota.
All right, Freddie?
Yeah, I'm for both the reasons that you guys have explained, I'm on the Vikings as well. And was anybody else 3-1 last week?
Just Fred.
Just asking. Okay. But, yeah, I agree with both you guys for all the reasons you stated. I'm on the Vikings plus 7.
Fezzik, what says the two-time Super Contest winner, my man?
I'm going to lean to the 49ers. I hear you in terms of the voodoo magic of aiding Kirk Cousins when he's starting a game at 1:30 local time when he needs to start at 1 o'clock, although right. It is the Pacific's time zone. But I'll say this. It's clear Kirk Cousins likes his routine. This has not been a routine week. First playoff win Sunday in New Orleans in the Bayou. Jet back to Minnesota, celebrate, and now have a short work week to prepare for a Saturday game. And San Francisco, their defense has been leaking oil. It was awesome the first 7 games. Since then, instead of giving up 11 points per game, they're giving up 26 points per game. But the bye week is coming at the perfect time. San Francisco's first bye week was week 4, boys. Every other playoff team, their bye weeks came week 8 or later. So the 49ers have not had a chance to rest, to go ahead and recuperate from injuries all year long. And because of that, this bye week is a huge edge before a Saturday game.
Either of you have a feel for the total sitting around 44, 44.5? I personally lean to the over.
You know, mathematically, we don't understand how this total can be so low, because if you look at the Vikings, a 44 looks just right for them. But if you look at San Francisco, their last 9 games have averaged 54 points. So how can this total be 44? And we're thinking a big part of that could well be actually 2 factors. The stadium has historically been lower scoring than expected there in San Francisco. And the second factor is, we talked about it, we don't trust Cousins in a bad role, and we don't trust Jimmy G in his first playoff start.
With the Ravens Titans, I what do we call this 10? Is consensus 10 now?
Fans, so it's showing
9.5.
Still 9.5.
9.5 on pregame.
Okay, pregame saying 9.5. That's what we'll play with. Ravens minus 9.5 hosting the Titans. What's RJ's take, Brad?
RJ's on Baltimore here, and I think that the key factor being on the other side of the ball, Tennessee, Derrick Henry, and this usage rate the last 2 weeks. Historical, at least for Derrick Henry. You got to go back to his junior year in college. Last time he carried the ball 30-plus times in back-to-back weeks. Think about this. Prior to the last 2 games, Derrick Henry, even at the NFL level, in what, 3 seasons now, only had 1 game with 30 or more carries. Each of the last 2 weeks, 30-plus carries. How effective will he be here when you know that they're going to go to him yet again? Why not? They just had a very successful performance on the road in New England. Do they really trust the Tennessee, the Tannehill? Certainly didn't last week. He only had 72 yards passing. Didn't need him. Because of that, RJ is with Baltimore, and that's where I'm at as well.
Yeah, I'm with Baltimore also. Everybody talks about Derrick Henry and how good they are at controlling the ball with him, and how basically people get tired of tackling Derrick Henry. And we've seen teams wear down in the second half because they do get tired of tackling Derrick Henry. The problem is the Ravens won't get tired of it because the Ravens are a better ball control team than the Titans. So I don't think the Ravens defense is going to be on the field too much, because the Ravens defense is never on the field a lot, because their offense is so great at owning that time of possession. They're so great at running themselves. I don't think they're going to deal with what the Patriots dealt with, because the Patriots had a hard time keeping the chains moving. You did see them start to wear down in the second half. You saw when they played the Texans the week before. The Texans were playing their third stringers. So, sure, those guys didn't like tackling Derrick Henry either. So while all this usage has been wearing on Derrick Henry, he's been playing teams that are going to have a hard time shutting it down. I don't think the Ravens have a hard time slowing him down. I don't think they get tired in the second half. I like the Ravens as well.
Fez?
I'm with both you guys. Go ahead, Fez.
Yeah, I lean Baltimore, and if you look at that Baltimore defense, it wasn't very good the first month. What's going on? Why has it been so good the past nine games? They've only been given up, Baltimore has, 14 points per game. Well, I'm going to make the case that Baltimore had seven new starters on that defense. It took a while for those guys to integrate in, and even when they did, you still had the issue of problems at cornerback. While they traded for Peters from the Rams, and Jimmy Smith came back from injury, since those guys have been back, that's when that Baltimore D has been awesome, frankly. So if I've got the number one quarterback in the league with an unstoppable offense that the Titans haven't seen, because when they played last year, it was Flacco playing for Baltimore, and I've got a greatly improved defense and a tired Derrick Henry, I've got a Baltimore double-digit win.
Yeah, I think I'm going to make it a clean sweep here, and I'll just mention that something AJ brought up earlier in the show, which I thought was a really good point. If they were playing this on a neutral field and the Ravens would be 6.5-point favorites, would you not just jump all over that? And I definitely would. So I'm with you guys on this one.
All right, let's move down the line, and I guess we'll just keep going in order. I won't save the Texans for last. Do either of you have a feel on the Ravens-Titans total at this point?
Yeah, I lean towards the under. A little bit of rain and wind in the forecast here. You got two really dominant, rush-heavy type of teams. Under for me, Fez.
Yeah, the latest weather report isn't as bad as I had hoped for, because I've already bet the under 47 in this game, but it was a weather play. So it really depends upon what the weather's going to be when this game kicks off.
All right, what do we got for consensus on the Texans? 9.5 as well?
Yeah.
All right, the Texans catching 9.5 points against the Chiefs and playing against a I don't know if you guys agree with this, but I kind of threw out the first time that they played the Chiefs as a data point. Not totally threw it out. Like, I didn't subtract it from the season stats or anything. But I'm not really looking at that first head-to-head matchup as a serious data point, because the Chiefs were – Patrick Mahomes was clearly banged up. It was Tyreek Hill's first game back from a long time out. Sammy Watkins wasn't there. They were missing their left tackle and their left guard. They were just missing a ton of guys. I just said, I'm not even taking what happened in that game into account. How much are you guys weighing that first matchup?
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm discounting it. I'm going to make the case Kansas City should be 16-0. Okay, that sounds a little crazy, but let's face it. They start out 4-0 with a healthy Mahomes. What happens? Well, he has those ankle issues. His ankle gets stomped on against Indy and against Houston, and Kansas City gets outscored in the fourth quarter, loses both of those games. Now, I get it. Their D did get pushed around early in the year on the ground, and that contributed to the loss. I still think they win with Mahomes. Their other two losses were Matt Moore lost a shootout to Green Bay, and they lost to Tennessee when they had a 99% chance to win with 1.5 minutes to play. So Kansas City's undervalued based upon those games with Matt Moore and the fact Mahomes was injured and the fact that KC defense under Spagnuolo has continued to improve and is so much better right now. This Houston team, Fugazi, 9-3 in close games they've won. I don't see them as being a contender at all. I think this gets ugly, Kansas City.
They've been outscored on the season, which is really...
And outgained.
Let's hear what RJ thinks, Brad. What's his take on it?
Well, let me preface by saying that RJ did have his divisional total play of the decade on the over in this game. So, of the 2020s, divisional round action, total of the decade, over 51. But RJ agrees. He's on the Kansas City side. I'll throw this in. This is part of my handicap on the game. Also, you got Andy Reid for KC coming off a bye, historically great, going all the way back to his Philadelphia Eagles days. So we got about 20 years of a sample size. Andy Reid off a bye, 68% against the spread, covering by about 5.5 points per game. My favorite side of the divisional round for me is Kansas City, and RJ agrees. He also has KC.
I've heard a lot of people correlate Kansas City to the over, and when you look at their games, it's been kind of the opposite. they've only lost four games all season long. They were 8-8 to overs and unders. Eight overs, eight unders. Four straight up losses. Three of those losses, so they were 5-3 on over games. The under games, they were 7-1. So I feel like for Kansas City to be at their best, it's likely an under game, because if Kansas City, I mean, obviously, if another team's going to beat Kansas City, they're going to have to score 28 plus. I mean, so it's going to be an over game if Kansas City loses more often than not. So I'm curious why we're seeing so much correlation to Kansas City in the over.
Well, I think it's a four-game sample, so you got to be careful. Like I said, one of those losses was Matt Moore, and that, let's face it, that Tennessee loss, Kansas City's up 5, and the idiot field goal kicker misses the field goal. Otherwise, that flops Kansas City to the over in that game, and now all of a sudden it's 2-2 in terms of those four games. Well, I guess it isn't, because they don't lose the game,
right.
And they and winds up being a Kansas City to over instead of a Tennessee to over.
Well, I'm with you. I'm on Kansas City. I just don't think that, and really my favorite play is Kansas City in the first half, because we've seen the Texans come back. We saw it again this week. They have come out after slow starts almost all season long. They've started slow, particularly in the first quarter. But I feel like if I can eliminate any kind of nonsense backdoor cover action, that's my best way to approach this game. So while for our purposes, I do like Kansas City minus 9.5, I like Kansas City minus 5.5 in the first half a lot more.
Yeah, I'll just piggyback on that. I like Kansas City minus 3 in the first quarter. That I'll be playing that as well. But I'm going to go oppo you guys, just because I do think you could get a cheap backdoor here. I think the Texans are not going to win this football game, but I could easily see them, you know, losing at 38-31 with a chicken bleep touchdown at the end to get inside the 9.5. So I'll take the Texans.
All right. Is that all five of us? I believe it is.
Yep.
All right. For the final game of the weekend, you've got the Seahawks at the Packers in what I'm calling the Fraud Bowl. Two teams who I don't know how they got to the records that they got to without just magical amounts of luck being dumped on top of them. Both these teams outgained on the season. I think they're very similar, though. I think that they have a lot in common. And so if I think these two teams are equal and I get plus 4.5 with one of them, that's probably the side I'm going to look to. So, again, this one is a pretty weak game for me, but I like the Seahawks plus 4.5 if I had to choose a side.
Yeah, RJ is going opposite of that. He's going with the Green Bay Packers here. And, obviously he agrees, because, I mean, both teams overrated. But if there's one team that RJ's hung his hat on all season long and said week after week after week is overrated, it's been the Seattle Seahawks, who are also, compromised. Fez, you can bring this up because you agree with RJ. Compromised at the running back position.
Yeah, and I think the matchup edge here is enormous for Green Bay, in that how do you beat Green Bay? Well, everyone knows that they're soft. You just run the ball up the middle. The Smith brothers are rushing on the edge, and you just rush for 8 yards per carry. That's an exaggeration. Like we saw San Francisco crush Green Bay. We saw the Chargers do that. Well, how is Seattle going to do that with their top three running backs out? Last I checked against the Eagles, Homer averaged 1 yard per carry. Lynch averaged 1 yard per carry. So clearly, Seattle's rush game is not nearly what it was, and it's not going to be able to take advantage of that soft Green Bay rush defense. Because of that, one of the primary reasons that, and I agree with you guys, both teams are fake and not very good, but I will be on Green Bay minus 4.5.
I think on the other side of that, you can look at it and say that, you know, the Eagles are, I mean, if there's one way not to beat the Eagles, it's to run up the middle against them. Like, that's the worst thing you can do against the Eagles with Fletcher Cox. And maybe that those numbers are, they're maybe inflated to the negative versus what they should be. And I'm not saying that Marshawn Lynch is in any great shakes. He looks really out of shape. And I don't think much of Homer is a runner. But I also think that, boy, I've seen this Green Bay defense give it up to a lot of teams this year. So it wouldn't shock me if, Marshawn Lynch can have a day against them.
Yeah, I'm with AJ on this one. I think part of those numbers were the Eagles last week. I mean, that's just it's a different matchup. I think they'll be able to run the football. I think these teams are both frauds, so I'll take the fraud that I'm getting points with and take the Seahawks.
Now, because this is Brad, have you given your pick?
Yeah, I wanted to wait and hear everyone's handicap because right. I don't want to really bet the side in this game. I prefer the under more than anything, but I'm going to go Seattle. And I just queried it up. I also need time for that. In the Russell Wilson era, when Seattle is an underdog, 68% against the spread, average cover by 5.5 points per game. Give me Seattle.
The one thing that worries me about being on Seattle is in this matchup between Wilson and Rodgers, I think the home team's like 7-0 straight up. So it doesn't give me a lot of wiggle room necessarily. But I also think, like I said, these teams are so even that it wouldn't shock me if this is a field goal game either way. So I am going to go with the Pack. What's your handicap on the under here?
I think there's going to be some issues with the field. I mean, weather's going to be okay because the snowstorm's going to hit the day before. But, I mean, it usually takes that Green Bay field at least 24 hours plus to get the field conditions good. So I'm going to lean with the under, which, you know, obviously Green Bay's become much more run-oriented this season. And the under, in fact, is 7-1 in their last 8 games.
I haven't even looked at it, but for RJ's total of the century or decade or whatever it's going to be, is there weather in that Kansas City Texans game that's supposed to affect anything?
No, there's a winter snowstorm Saturday, 3 to 5 inches, but by Sunday, 40 degrees, limited wind should be fine.
All right.
Well, can we get Brad's take on the championship game?
Since
we're not going to get a chance to talk to him before that.
Best bet for me of the weekend. Well, I have two. I got one right there in your neck of the woods, Frisco, Texas. Bet the under in that James Madison, North Dakota State game.
That's a weather all the way down under.
It's a weather under. And on top of it, it's a matchup under. When you look at the past meetings between the two teams, you look at, because these two teams, James Madison, North Dakota State, are so much superior to the rest of the FCS. When they matched up, though, with playoff caliber teams this year, the average score, total score, is about 40 points per game. And I looked at the top five opponents James Madison played and the top five opponents that North Dakota State played. Average total score, 40 points per game. And it's going to be, 20-mile-an-hour wind, some sleet, rain, and bad weather happening the night before. Kickoff temperature in Texas is going to be like 35 degrees, an 11 a.m. start time, local time there. Love the under, fellas. And as far as loving something, I love the side in the national championship game on Monday night, and it's Clemson +6. But I'll say this, because the public support for LSU is at an historical level, and it is a championship game, and the public can override even the sharper money in one of these bigger games, I'm going to wait on Monday and see if I can get a better number. But there's no doubt about it, my side play for the national championship. And I usually am not too heavily involved on a side play in a championship game, but I think there's a lot of value on Clemson. Look ahead line for this game. So, you know, prior to the semifinals, a lot of books had LSU -1. Some had Clemson -1. Let's just call it pick 'em. So after these two teams won their games, covered their games, we've had a 6-point adjustment after one game. Too much. Clemson.
Yeah, I'm with you. I just can't make the number get to 6, no matter how hard I try to bump LSU or you know, take down Clemson. I just can't get there. So I'm with you on that. I also think that weather helps James Madison in that game, just because North Dakota State's so used to playing in a dome that I can't imagine their offense is going to be thrilled about playing in swirling winds and frigid temperatures. So.
Teams are run heavy. I mean, it's like two option teams. North Dakota State runs it 70% of the time. James Madison runs it 67% of the time.
Yep. So I like James Madison, and I do like your under as well.
And
all right, boys.
I played first quarter under 10 and first half under 24 because I think the weather is going to be worse earlier in that game. And also, I always love eliminating the chance of an overtime or some crazy stuff if a team gets up 10 in the fourth quarter.
Excellent call. That is Fezzik and Brad Powers from pregame.com. You can follow Brad Powers at BradPowers7. There's a fake Fezzik on Twitter. Did you know that, Steve?
Oh, yeah, he's well aware of that guy. Do not pay attention to that guy behind the curtain.
We only follow the real Steve Fezzik, which, that, by the way, that should be, you should just change your handle to that. But it's at Fezzik Sports is where you want to follow Steve. And we'll even though he's sick, I'll still be kind and say at RJ in Vegas. Guys, appreciate the time as always. And we'll start talking to you guys about some hoops soon.
All right. Sounds good. Take care, guys.
All right.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll wrap things up.
All right, guys. I got to tell you about Carbach and the 4th Annual Carbach Classic out at Sterling Country Club, February 10th at 11 a.m. They're raising money to find a cure for MS, and that's a great thing. All the proceeds are going to be donated to the National MS Society. Golfers are going to have a complimentary concert as well, and sponsors get to select a celebrity golfer to join their team. Jeff Blum, Kevin Walter, other former Texans, current Texans, Mark Clayton, and more. Shotgun start at noon. There's a scramble play, longest drive contest, close to the pit. You know the deal. Lunch and dinner provided by Backyard Grill. Purchase tickets today at CarbachBrewing.com. And, of course, get ready for the Rodeo Clown Roundup, February 16th, 1 p.m. at the brewery. Rodeo season's right around the corner, so we're going to have that concert again, the 3rd Annual Rodeo Clown Roundup. Blackberry Smoke, Corey Morrow, Band of Heathens, and Clint Daniels. Grab your tickets today at CarbachBrewing.com and do the 5K, 10K beforehand if you want discounted tickets. Follow Carbach on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Pick up your favorite Carbach beer today and ask your bartender to please make it a Carbach.
Is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. This is a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from Sam Houston Race Park. This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz. Let's wrap it up the same way we do every Friday with a little stupid stuff.
Yeah. Stupid stuff we said this week. And so, yeah, thank you for listening. So
this microphone is smelly.
Who's on that thing?
I don't know. What's going on around here? Our guys are gross at this place.
Yeah, well...
Booker T could be Batman. Well, we'll do the whole...
Yeah, I like that idea.
Yeah, this will be called Black Man. I don't know if anybody's come up with this movie idea yet, but we'll take, like, a traditional white movie and cast it with only black people. I'm going to start doing that. Like, I'm going to take all-time great movies, like movies that everybody talks about, and just redo them with only black guys.
You know, it's been done, like, with The Wiz and stuff like that. It's been done.
But I'm talking about
Mel Brooks. Mel Brooks wanted to do one.
I'm talking about bigger movies than that, though.
Oh, bigger than Wizard of Oz?
They did do a black Wizard of Oz?
Yeah, it was called The Wiz. There's actually been a few of those done. Again, another great idea that you're...
Casablanca? Casablanca?
I don't know, but it wouldn't shock me. You're probably about 30 years behind on this idea. I don't know, maybe I am pro-steroid. I missed it when guys were banging 50 homers. Brady Anderson.
It was more fun, certainly.
Richard Hidalgo's hitting 48 home runs. I miss those days.
Yeah.
That was fun. And now those guys, their peckers don't work. But that's their problem.
Yeah, who cares?
They get paid. You got money, you don't need a pecker.
I don't know if that's true.
Yeah, well, you know, it's all part of the price you pay.
Yeah. I mean, a Windows Surface on the sidelines. Oh, is it Microsoft Surface?
I guess. I don't know. Yeah. I don't do
Not an iPad. I just call it an iPad.
Everything's kind of an iPad. So
if you can watch porn with it on the toilet, it's an iPad.
So my phone counts?
Yeah, I guess. Here's my lean as someone who rarely watches hockey. The Golden Knights are missing one of their best players. He's been missing for the last four games. Jonathan Marchessault.
Marchessault.
Whatever.
Getting a lot of Sam Darnold, too.
Sam Darnold looks like Wreck-It Ralph. Like he looks like a video game character.
Maybe not Patrick Mahomes numbers, but he had pretty good ones.
Yeah. Oh, excuse me.
Two of them here in like 5 minutes. What the hell?
One was with a phone caller. That was super embarrassing.
Yeah. So who's Poison Ivy?
Oh,
do we even have a legitimate Poison Ivy candidate here?
Holly?
No.
No.
Well, she's too ghetto to be in our movie.
Like, we could put Holly in as Catwoman.
No, that'd be gross, too.
You gotta have a touch of the gutter to be Catwoman.
Yeah, but you don't gotta bring the whole swamp. Yeah.
Stupid stuff.
That's it.
Oh, man, that's gonna wrap it up.
Who was filling in for you, or for me that day when they said that stuff
about
Holly?
I don't know. The sexist pig.
Gross.
Great job, Aaron. Great job, Tyler. Great job, Hoffman. It's pretty good today. First race is in the books, so lots of action.
Are you want to know?
My horse ran second.
Okay, that's pretty good.
Yeah, it doesn't suck. Hope everybody has a great weekend. Enjoy the football. We'll be back on Monday to talk about all of it. Till then, stay sportsy, bitches.